We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday.
April 1945, the Third Reich's 13th hour. Into the blazing rubble of Berlin parachutes a unit of Allied commandos. Their mission? To kidnap Hitler. We present the 13th hour.
Sunday, April the 29th, 1945.
Herr Reichsleiter, you were saying that the farce was only beginning?
Yes.
I don't understand. What happened subsequently to the Führer's refusal to accept General Weidling's offer of a breakout?
The General left, only to be followed by the leader of the Hitler Youth.
Arthur Axmann?
Yeah.
What on earth was he doing there?
He was obviously unaware of Weidling's proposal.
Huh?
He pledged, with tremendous earnestness and a great lack of breath, the services of his young warriors as a guarantee for the life and safety of the Führer.
Oh! Warriors!
A handful of schoolboys.
What could they have done?
He said they were prepared to die in an all-out assault on the weaker Russian concentration at the western end of the corridor.
Oh, and what did they hope to achieve by that?
It was in order to effect the Führer's escape.
The Führer refusing the offer of help from one of his generals, only to be rescued by some inefficient boy scouts. Oh, ridiculous.
Exactly, my dear Müller. Doubtlessly, the Führer was aware of the absurdity of the situation, for he refused Axmann's offer.
And sent him on his way.
Yes, but not before there had been much handshaking and speech-making as the Führer expressed his gratitude and Axmann volunteered his life. Comic opera.
And yourself, Herr Reichsleiter?
I hovered in the background and winced. I'm not partial to playing the role of a buffoon. However, I was forced to be the spectator to a further two acts. The first being the marriage of the Führer.
Marriage?
Yes. You were fortunate to have the excuse of Fegelein's court-martial to occupy you. I had to find a civil magistrate to perform the ceremony.
What?
We managed to locate one in a nearby Volkssturm unit and summoned him to the Führer's suite of rooms.
So, after 13 years, Eva has finally managed to become the Führer's wife.
Yes. Yeah. It was probably a gesture on the part of the Führer. A sort of thank you for all you've done, Aria, before the death scene.
Ah, it will only complicate matters.
Yes, I couldn't say anything. The Führer is too caught up in the whole performance. As for myself, I had to join Goebbels and his wife, plus two of the Führer's favorite secretaries, in a small celebration.
A cheerful wedding celebration. That must have been Reichsleiter.
Laughter and looted champagne. And a salvo of corks with which to answer Russian guns.
You are correct, Herr Reichsleiter. Fegelein was a far more charming spectacle.
I still had to endure the final death scene. Following the wedding celebration, the Führer dictated his political testament and personal will.
I've had thought that it would have interested you, Herr Rashleiter. Mm.
That it did, Müller. But not in the way you think. Quite obviously, it expelled both Hermann Göring and Heinrich Himmler from the party for attempting to seize control of the state and for negotiating with the enemy.
Ach, empty words now.
The Führer then continued to name Admiral Karl Dönitz and Joseph Goebbels as his successors.
Oh, Goebbels must have lapped that up.
He did. Salivated like some avaricious hyena.
I can imagine how he looked.
Completely uninspiring sight. As for his personal will, it left his possessions to the party, or if it ceased to exist, to the state, and named me as his executor.
What did you do?
What could I do, Miller? I clenched my teeth and accepted.
And still nothing about starting Operation Schachmat?
Nothing. Sometime this morning, I and the Führer are to meet with three young military aides. Lieutenant Colonel Wilhelm Reiss, Major Bernd von Freytag Loringhofen, and Captain Gerhard Bolt.
For what purpose?
That I'm not certain. Perhaps it's another breakout attempt.
And if that should be the case?
The decision rests with the Führer, as before.
But the submarine receives its final instructions tonight.
I know. I will try again to persuade the Führer.
Oh, it will mean another day of sitting here idle. The atmosphere in the bunker is already heavy. Frayed nerves are leading to arguments among the lower echelons.
We have to wait till tonight, Müller. Even if the Führer agrees to the proposals of Weiss and the rest.
But, Herr Reichsleiter, the submarine will be remaining immobile in dangerous waters. We cannot guarantee its safety.
So far, no one suspects its existence. We must pray that the situation continues.
Sunday, April the 29th, London.
Bascombe alive, and they aren't going to do anything.
That's about the gist of it, Anoka.
You're sure Henry Bascombe is alive? You aren't just saying that to cheer me up, Sydney.
For heaven's sake, no.
It would be mean of you if you were, building up my hopes for nothing.
Look, Emma, I wouldn't waste my time doing such a faceted thing like that. I knew you were rather keen on the young idiot, but I didn't think it had gone quite so bad. You are rather gone on him, aren't you?
A little.
A little? Oh, damn it, Anne. The way you're carrying on, I'd say you were completely sold on the fellow. Far more than on me.
Oh, Sydney, you're being most unfair. I love you too, really. You must believe me.
I wonder if you'd have behaved like this if it were Captain Bascombe standing here telling you I was the one trapped in the room.
Sydney, it's no use trying to argue with you. You've decided to be completely unreasonable for some obscure purpose.
Damn it, and you're the one that's being unreasonable.
Not at all.
I mean, what's a fellow supposed to think when the girl he's keen on keeps moping about some other guy?
I'm fond of you both. Very fond, Sydney.
Mm.
And if it seems a little strange to you, please remember the war has made it rather difficult for a girl to devote her affection to only one man. After all, he may never come back. And then what's she supposed to do?
Well, Bascombe hasn't come back, and I have.
Major Longland, I hardly think that is a matter for triumph.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it to sound like that.
Well, it certainly did.
Well, damn it, Anne. This argument is getting us nowhere. At least Bascombe is alive.
But I don't understand. If that is the case, then why won't Mumford do anything about rescuing him? Why has he refused?
I don't think he would have, if it hadn't been for Holly.
Holly? What's he got to do with it?
He's Bascombe's superior. Bascombe was shoved into the operation on his insistence.
But Mumford was in charge. It was his idea.
Yes. Nevertheless, he's been given the full carpet treatment for the failure of the whole thing. Nothing must be mentioned about it. It's got to be as though it never happened.
But why?
Not to offend the Russians.
Oh, damn the Russians.
My sentiments exactly.
I bet Hollis refused to do anything because he doesn't want to be accused of having been involved in the raid.
That's precisely the reason why he's not keen on rescuing Bascom. Or for anyone else trying that type of stunt. Practically had a fit when I volunteered to go in for the poor fellow.
What? Sidney, you didn't.
Well, of course I did. Damn it, Anne, Bascom was under my command. He was one of my men. And I believe an officer should be responsible for his men. Even if our Mr. Holly isn't quite so convinced of that.
That was very honourable of you, Sidney. I knew my faith in you was absolutely justified.
No more than a chap ought to do.
Oh, don't try and play it down, dear. It was extremely courageous of you to offer.
Well, nothing came of it. They both refused to accept it. They're determined to pretend that not a single British or American has set foot in Berlin. And their instructions come from the top.
But then why bother to have the Swede, Nils Freischus, go through all the trouble of getting information?
That was Mumford's idea. To find out what happened to us. We were out by the time he got through, though. I don't know how he managed to contact Bascom.
But there was a definite message from Henry, wasn't there?
Yes. Colonel Norman relayed the whole thing to us. Freischus was very specific.
What did the message say? Exactly.
That he had just returned from Berlin.
Freischus?
Yes. Fegelein had been arrested. He was our contact man in the beginning. Failed to pitch, remember?
No. Mumford may confide certain things to me, but not everything. I'm only his chauffeur, after all.
Oh, he certainly made good use of you, getting you to spy on Holly through Bascom, and then getting Holly to think the whole thing was the other way round.
Oh, I'd hardly call it spying. I was only doing my duty.
Well, personally, I think you should concentrate your efforts on driving cars and not doing favours for the top brass.
Peter Longland, I'd thank you not to give me instructions as to what I may and may not do. You were telling me about the message from Freischus, if you recall.
Oh, that.
I don't say it like that. It's very important.
Then, briefly, to finish. Freischus reported that he'd made contact with Bascom, who was very much alive at the time, and that at great risk to himself, Bascom relayed news of submarine Schachbrett near Sassnitz. Freischus presumed it was highly important.
That's it?
Yes.
Nothing more?
No. I wish there had been. I was hoping for news of Formoy.
Formoy?
Philip Formoy. He was with Bascom when we had to hop it. Unfortunately, the Swede has nothing to say about him.
I'm sorry. You seem fond of him. Are you?
Old Formoy was a nice, steady fellow. Rather miss having him around.
So, despite the message, they aren't going to do anything about Bascom.
That's what I've been trying to tell you, Anne. Oh, Mumford was pretty cool and sarcastic with Holly about the whole affair, which was wonderful. Made Holly squirm.
If a man as foul-natured as Holly can feel enough guilt to squirm.
Quite. Anyway, Mumford offered to make every effort to scoop Bascom up when the battle is done.
If he's still alive.
And that's what I said. Till then, he had to manage as best he could on his own.
But what about the submarine?
What about it?
Well, if they refuse to admit that Bascom is in Berlin, just how do they plan to explain where they got the information about the submarine?
They won't have to explain anything.
Why not?
Because they're going to leave the submarine.
Leave it?
Right. Do nothing.
But Henry risked his life to get word through to them about it.
That's what I said to them. But Holly went on about how he wasn't prepared to have one of Mumford's subordinates, namely me, yap at him.
Selfish, cold-blooded pig.
Exactly.
Why, a bomb couldn't have dropped on him rather than on some of the people it did.
Steady on, Anne, old girl. No use getting worked up about it.
But I am worked up about it, and quite rightly, too.
Well, Colonel Norman seems about the best bet.
Colonel Norman? What's he got to do with it? Have to do with Bascom.
Well, the old man is pretty much the old Britisher type. After all, he volunteered to come out of retirement to assist Mumford.
So?
He was the one who received Fryshe's message and relayed it to us. Holly, Mumford and myself. Naturally, he was furious at Holly's behaviour.
As any right-thinking person would be.
Wasn't too sold on Mumford's performance either. Not if I judge the looks he gave him correctly.
Colonel Norman is quite right. Mumford's also been despicable.
Anyway, Colonel Norman felt he might be able to help Bascombe.
How?
Well, he's been serving quite some time in Whitehall. Since the war broke out, in fact. He's come to know a great many people.
Oh?
Including a certain Navy man who controls the submarine patrols over the Baltic. Sassnitz, the town Bascombe mentioned, was on the Baltic.
Sunday, April the 29th, Berlin.
The Russian salvos have intensified.
Yes, ever since the light improved.
Even down here, one can feel them worsening. A Reichsleiter, still nothing?
No. The Führer gave no sign.
Your meeting with the young military aides, how did that go?
Oh, he listened with great interest to their proposals.
Another breakout attempt?
Yes. Again planned through the western end of the corridor. To inform General Wenck and his 12th Army that they must hasten onward or Berlin is lost.
Wenck. He is supposed to be approaching Potsdam, isn't he?
We have no idea.
But Reichsleiter, you have just said...
A rumor, nothing but a rumor. We have no concrete evidence. Wenck could be anywhere, and nowhere near Potsdam. However, if he has managed to progress as was originally intended, then he should have reached Potsdam by now.
Still hoping, still trying to be optimistic.
No, I am a realist.
Weiss and his companions. What route did they decide to take?
They'd go through the Tiergarten.
Amidst the fighting?
Yes, and in daylight, too.
It's gratifying to know that there are still young men in Germany who have courage. Oh, I hope they succeed and are not killed.
It is immaterial to me whether they live or die. There will always be others to replace them.
After the Tiergarten, what then?
Well, they could go beyond the Kurfürstendamm, or on to the Adolf Hitler Platz, then to the Olympic Stadium, and finally to the bridges at Pickelsdorf.
When did they expect to reach Pickelsdorf?
By nightfall. Shortly after that, they will have made it to the Havel River, where they would confiscate a boat and make their way between Russian troop concentrations by sailing south to the Wannsee.
Oh, they are brave men. You cannot deny that.
Yes.
And the Führer, what did he think about it all?
Oh, he was fascinated.
Fascinated? At a time like this?
Yes, he was very much how he used to be. He made a few suggestions, including showing them on a city map where they might find some quiet electric boats. Then wished them good luck.
They left?
Immediately.
And he said nothing? And yourself?
I watched them go without a word.
I see. Herr Reichsleiter.
I know. I'd promised I would try and persuade him at this meeting.
Yeah.
There seemed to be no opportunity, Miller.
None whatsoever. I kept waiting, watching, for him to say something, indicate he was ready to leave. But all the time he remained merely interested in their plans, infected by their heroism, no doubt. They were like young boys, all of them. Including him.
Oh, a wonderful picture. Romantic. But our lives are at stake. Ours as well as his.
Even after they had gone, I found I couldn't say anything. Perhaps I had been as fascinated by him as he had been by them. I just felt so tired, dispirited. So I came away and joined you here.
I am grateful, Herr Reichsleiter, for your interest in me, to keep me informed.
But I would rather hear that you have managed to persuade him.
I can't.
You must!
It may be too late even now.
It's not too late. After tonight, it will be. You must go to him.
Impossible.
Now that he's alone, speak to him. Tell him everything waits for his word.
I told you, Miller, I can't.
You must. The lives of everyone in this bunker depend on his going.
I am well aware of that, Miller. And you and I may as well commit suicide with him if he doesn't decide now.
I have no intention of doing such a thing, Bormann. If you won't speak to him, then I will. The submarine receives its final instructions today.
I will go, Miller. I am the one who must talk to him.
Good. The submarine surfaces near Sassnitz tonight.
London.
Sorry, we had to choose this place.
So am I. Seemed the best in which to meet up with our friend here. Least conspicuous.
Yes. It's so awfully noisy there. The White Tower must be the most popular bar in London with the Allied forces.
Oh, it is. Famed largely, earned by the quality of its black market roast mutton.
Well, it no longer serves it. I wish all these fellows would push off. I had a devil of a time trying to bring your drinks without spilling it.
Poor Sydney. Did they shove you around?
Yes, that's all the thanks I get for having risked life and limb to get you some brandy to pour down your gullet.
Colonel Norman said that this sub you wanted me to find is of special importance.
Yes, it is. Please.
But the Baltic is filled with subs. Jolly old problem is it's hard to find a particular one, even when one knows where to look.
Ah, but this particular sub is at or near Sassnitz. That narrows it down, don't you see?
Sassnitz.
Yes, thereabouts.
Well, it might be standing out from Sassnitz by now. They're not exactly immobile. And they don't float up occasionally and confide, "My name is Shockbrett."
But you could try. Honestly, if it weren't important, we wouldn't be asking. One of our associates risked absolutely everything to send out an alert on the sub. There was the hush-hush problem with the high potentates.
Well, what do you say?
Please, it's very, very important. To me, personally.
Oh. Well, of course we can try. My patrols sink every sub they can find anyway. But I'll pass the word that something unusual may be happening in the Baltic and get my boys to bear down. But my dear Sergeant Christie, don't get your hopes up too high. There's a dashed lot of briny deep out there.
Berlin.
You are determined, then, Herr Reichsleiter?
Yes, Miller. We have lost enough time as it is. Far too much. I will go and ask the Führer to give his decision now.
Listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world. Best Sellers is brought to you every Monday to Friday on Springbok Radio at 9 p.m.
John Lee's dramatic novel, The 13th Hour, is adapted for radio by John Cavigia and produced by Andre Bortman.